All right, well, let me jump on into the Right Side Way opening monologue, and I'll just remind you guys, as always, that Stan McDonald, partner at the law firm of Wilmer & Lee up in Huntsville, Stan McDonald is the sponsor daily of the Right Side Way, and I'll tell you more about attorney Stan McDonald here in just a few minutes. All right, let me start by asking you this. You ever had one of those professors, or maybe an instructor or a classroom teacher at any level at all, who was just, well, was just quirky? Like, I remember my dad telling me he had a professor at the University of North Alabama, it was called Florence State back then, who literally paced and chain-smoked nonstop during his lectures on a raised dais in the front of the room. Dad said it was almost unnerving. It was distracting because the guy would pace back and forth while staring at the ceiling the whole time, never looking at the class, and his toes would stop at the edge of the dais every time without looking down. But on top of that, he was chain-smoking. And all he did was he would take an occasional long drag off his filterless camels, and then he would never blow it out. Dad said it was like the smoke just disappeared until a minute or so later, it would begin wafting out of his mouth and nose while he was speaking. He never huffed it out. He said it was really distracting, and yeah, it was super quirky. Okay, so my years of study, I've had some humdingers. In my sophomore year in college at the University of South Alabama, I was down in Mobile. I was in an English lit class. It was a decent class, but the professor, he was quirky, almost jumpy. If you asked him for a question, he would like dart his eyes over toward you like he was scared by your raised hand. So one day we were discussing something to do with the Mayflower. Remember the ship that brought the pilgrims? The Mayflower. And he made the statement that after the original pilgrims had disembarked from the Mayflower, that it hoisted anchor to return to England and no one knows what happened to it after that. Well, I did. So I raised my hand. And I got the nervous, jumpy look that the quirky professor always gave, and like he wondered what I was up to. So he called on my name, and I let him know that I had lived in England for several years and had actually visited a 260-year-old building that had been built from the Mayflower's salvaged timbers. His response was, he got all jumpy, and he says, I don't know about that. And I simply said, well, sir, I was there. They even showed us the beam in the ceiling that was fractured during the Mayflower voyage repaired by the crew, which is historically documented. To which he replied once more, I just don't know anything about that. I don't think so. Talk about an awkward moment. So I just shrugged and let it go. But after class, just trying to be conversational, I walked up to him, my jumpy lecturer, my quirky guy, and I said something like, hey, sir, what I said about the Mayflower, I mean, it's real. It was really something to see. I was there. He avoided eye contact, looked around, and says, well, I just don't know about that. Gathered up his briefcase and almost ran out of the room. Like I said, the man was just, he was quirky. But in retrospect, here's the thing. What was happening then, I think, was he's quirky, yeah, but in retrospect, I think it was really that his viewpoint was being challenged. And it was being challenged openly, and he did not know how to respond to that. He wasn't used to being challenged, I guess. It wasn't a question about his syllabus material. I wasn't rewriting history or changing the base constructs of English lit. It was just a little factoid about a sidebar. But yet I was personally a physical witness to something, and I tried to apply my reality to his quirkiness, and I was surprised when he just rejected it out of hand. And that, my friends, that is exactly what we see happening around us all the time right now with liberals. Yep, I'm going there. So today's progressive left does not just want you to question their version of reality. The progressive left is not at all interested in whether or not you have an opinion on anything at all. The progressive left does not want to debate an agenda or the finer points of domestic or foreign policy, and it does not matter whether you're an actual witness to the events that are being bandied about in the public square by them. No, the progressive left actually just wants, demands, insists that we must deny our reality in favor of their version of reality, but that goes beyond mere quirkiness at that point. That's actually dangerous. You see, when reality can be freely denied, it means there's no absolutes. In a world that has no absolutes, only those in power can get their way because truth becomes relative. In a world without absolutes, there can be no true justice because people cannot be held accountable for their actions because their actions are just merely considered to be a product of their own truth. You cannot deny me my truth. It's my reality. You're just trying to impose your morality on me. No, we're actually trying to keep a basis of truth from which to work so we can know where everybody stands. Yeah, when truth becomes relative, then nothing is true and anything goes. It reminds me of a passage from Acts chapter 3 and 4. In that passage, Peter and John had just healed a man, and the religious leaders lost their minds over it. They thought they had gotten rid of this whole Jesus thing when they crucified Christ, but in the book of Acts, after the resurrection, the early church was still growing by leaps and bounds. So when Peter and John healed a man and the crowd saw it all happen, they didn't know what to do about it. So their solution? Well, they hauled him in and told them never to speak again in the name of Jesus. There, that'll fix it. But we're told that Peter reared up, looked him in the eye, and he said this. He said, quote, "Whether or not I should speak in the name of Jesus, you decide. But I cannot stop speaking what I've seen and heard." Did you get that? Peter basically told the religious leaders of the day to go pound sand. He was a witness. Nobody could tell him that his own personal experience, what he saw with his own eyes and believed with his own heart and mind, was not real. Those religious leaders, they were more quirky, and they were also more dangerous. Well, that's where we are right now in the fight for America, to be able to deport people that are here illegally. For 4 years, we were told the border was secure, right? Which was absolutely farcical because we could see it with our own eyes. We were witnesses. The border was no more secure from leakage than an open hatch on a submarine. Millions streamed across our border. Whole states declared themselves to be sanctuaries for illegal migrants. Here's a thought. If the border was secure, then why did we need sanctuary cities? Because you only need sanctuary if you've done something wrong and you need protection. Well, it was an altered reality. It was beyond quirky. It was dangerous. And it still is. So now we're finally in position to fight back. And the latest ludicrous argument that we're having to endure is related to whether or not Biden's open border policies mean that people who came here illegally cannot be sent back. And the classic case before us is an El Salvadorian MS-13 gang member named Kilmar Armando Abregio Garcia. Garcia was in the country illegally, by his own admission. He declared that he is not a gang member and that back home there were death threats from another gang, though, that led him to flee to the United States. Okay, so you're not a gang member, but one gang is trying to kill you. He was arrested, by the way, in 2019 for being here illegally. And after his arrest, he married his pregnant girlfriend, who's a U.S. citizen, while he was in the ICE detention center. Did you get that? He was not a U.S. citizen. He was not even married to one. He married her while he was in prison. He then applied for asylum because of fears of going back home. And he was released on detainer and went back into the community in Maryland. But in March of this year, he was detained again and sent off to El Salvador's Cicot prison. Liberal heads are exploding. He's the poster boy for everything that's gone wrong with the deportation process. Never mind that he was a gang member. Never mind that he was here illegally by his own admission. What matters to the left right now is they can refer to him as the resident of Maryland and a husband and a father. They alter reality to gain ground in their argument about one man in order to argue that all deportations must come to an end. It's a quirky argument. It's also dangerous. But you know, in my opinion, Democrats don't even believe their own lies. They would no more welcome Mr. Garcia into their home than the man in the moon. And the reason is that the left is not principled in their viewpoint. They will bend the truth to suit their needs to support their agenda, so their base will like them. But keep in mind what Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher once said. She said, quote, "If you just set out to be liked, you should be prepared to have to compromise on anything at any time and you will accomplish nothing." She also famously asked the question, "Do you think that you would ever have heard of Christianity if the apostles had gone out and said, I believe in consensus?" Because you see, going back to my example in Acts chapter 4, Peter and John, they stood in front of the religious leaders who were demanding that they deny their own reality. Deny that they had witnessed and experienced anything that challenged the status quo, to which Peter simply said, "I cannot stop speaking what I've seen and heard." And then Peter and John went out and changed the world. Yeah, they changed the world by sticking to what they knew to be true and refusing to accept the new version of reality they were being told to believe. Ain't nothing quirky about that. Can I get a witness? And that's a wrap for The Right Side Way.